2 Kings, I won't tell you where just yet. As you're turning, I want to kind of echo this. This is not part of the message. And welcome our radio audience, by the way. I always forget that. this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight. I just want to echo some comments Pastor made Sunday morning about the Master Club group and about Gideon, our ODAX trip. I do appreciate all of you all that have invested in my children. I want to say that personally and publicly, and even the Master Club kids. It's been a blessing. And now me and my wife are at a crossroads. We're not empty nesters by no means. We'll probably have to move away to have that happen. but anyway, I want to just an extend appreciation and a thanks to all of you that have invested in my kids and all the kids in this church. Many of you have had a hand, and even if you haven't taught a class, just prayers and words or anything you've done, I really appreciate that. It's a blessing. It seems like yesterday that they were in diapers, and they're not now anymore. So, but anyway, they grow up, and you start losing your hair, and then when you got hair on your face, it's gray and all that kind of thing. But anyway, it's good times. Sometimes you don't know if you want to laugh or cry. But it's exciting to see what the Lord will do with them, and just continue to pray for my family and our kids and all the kids of this church. Please do that. Don't ever forsake that. Don't ever take that for granted. The Lord can do a mighty work through these young people. He can still do a mighty work through you, and I trust that He's doing that. All right, 2 Kings, I'm still not going to tell you where to go. Well, go to chapter 2. We're going to start there, chapter 2. And while you're turning, I want to throw something out here at you, nothing physically, but has any of you ever knew someone that maybe when you were in school or that you thought in your mind, man, I wish I was as good as they was? And it could be anything. Whether it could be sports, or did you ever say that to yourself? You know, I wish I was as good as they was. Any of you ever do that? But in your maybe your own physical ability, maybe you just never could be, or maybe just, I don't know. But to go one step further, maybe you had a brother or sister. I know some of you have siblings, and did you ever say that within yourself? Man, I wish I was as good as he was, or I wish I could do that like he did. And some of you may even fought each other over it. I don't know. But to go one step further, how about, you know, this could even apply to your husband or your wife. Man, I wish I could do that a little bit better, or maybe I could. And fill in the blank. It could be anything. We're going to look at a guy in the Bible. Don't get talked about a whole lot. I want to talk about Gehazi, but we got to get to Gehazi. So, and there's going to be quite a bit of reading tonight, and nothing says anything better than reading the words of the Lord and what He said. We're going to kind of establish how Gehazi, when he came on the scene, and then we're going to talk a little bit about him. Hopefully it won't take long. I'll try to be as quick as I can. But I want to title this Gehazi, Guilty of Greed. And hope we can learn something tonight. And when we get done, I hope that you don't say to yourself, put your name in that, your name, guilty of greed. I hope that's nobody in this room. I trust it's not. But we're going to look at Gehazi this evening. All right, 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to start reading here in just a second at verse 9. But we know the story here in chapter 2. Elijah is passing off the scene. And I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but down, you know, verse 1 all the way down through, I don't know, verse 8, 9, which we're going to start reading at 9. So verse 8, Elijah's trying to basically not push Elisha away, but basically push him away. And Elisha is persistent. He keeps coming back. He wants something. He wants what Elijah had. And would to God we would want what God has for us. Would to God that, you know, I ask you that question, if you knew somebody that you'd always like to be as good as, would to God that somebody else has something you want? And I'm not talking about, let's throw the word covetous out of the way here. I'm talking about something spiritual. Maybe it's knowledge. Maybe it's wisdom. You know, there's things we can glean from one another. And I hope you do that. There's people in this building right now that I glean from. Whether you teach, it's in personal conversation, I listen. Now, not always, and we all have that problem. We all have selective hearing, if you could say that. But there's always something we can learn. There's always chances in our lives to grow. I don't care who you want to be, maybe who you look up to, or maybe it's a preacher you like or whatever. I love to listen to my pastor preach. I love to listen to, there's other guys I like to listen to preach. And, you know, I don't have what you say a favorite, but there's several guys I like to listen to. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've just got that special friend that, man, you wish you could pray like they do. And that's okay. That's something good to want. So again, Elijah's passing off the scene. Elisha comes on. And start reading verse 9. Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." That's what Elisha wanted. He's seen the works and the miracles that Elijah done as the prophet there, and he wanted some of that. And he wouldn't quit till he got it. And that's persistence. That's a good thing. Wouldn't God, we would be persistent in some things. Verse 10, "And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven." Verse 12, "And Elisha saw it, and he cried, My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Verse 14, "He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." So the Lord's already working in Elisha's life here. He got a double portion of what he asked for from Elijah. And I didn't count the miracles of Elijah and Elisha, but depending on where you read, depending on how you count, supposedly Elisha done, they say, maybe twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And I think that refers to that double portion. Either way, we're going to stop reading here. We're going to move here in just a second. But from verse 14 all the way over to, we're going to pick up reading in chapter 4. So Elisha does several miracles here. The end of chapter 2, chapter 3, some things that he does. So we're going to pick up reading in verse, or chapter 4. Chapter 4, 2 Kings, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." Another miracle took place there. Verse 7. "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Verse 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he returned into the chamber and lay there. Now, verse 12 is the first mention of Gehazi through all this. Verse 12, And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And we're going to continue on here in just a second. So it's the first time that we know that Gehazi is mentioned in the passage or throughout Elisha's life as far as that goes. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us at what point he came on. But I feel like that he was there. He was a servant of Elisha. I feel like he was there maybe from the beginning. I don't know. I don't have anything to prove that. But I do feel like he was with Elisha through a lot of this up until this point. So, you know, you have Elijah passed off the scene. We got Elisha that's got a double portion from God. And now he has a servant, Gehazi. And kind of keep in your mind as we read through these things, you know, our church is, and our church within itself, you know, our pastor is the shepherd of our flock here. There's some authority there, but also, you know, everybody in here, you know, overall, I'll say we're all the same. You know, some people have, I don't want to call it a position, I'll just maybe call it a ministry. You know, there's things you do, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's whatever you do here. And what I want you to keep in mind is there are people that especially this day and time that love recognition. People, they thrive on those things. And in some respects, there's a place for that. In others, there's not. And I know some people thrive. Some people feed on recognition. And I'm not talking about recognition tonight, but I want to, as we read through here, I want you to keep Gehazi in mind, because you have the man of God, as the scripture refers to Elisha, and you got Gehazi in the shadows. And we'll see here in just a second. Elisha gives Gehazi some orders, you might say. You know, do this, do that, go here, go there. And my personal opinion, and again, I can't prove this, you know, you got succession, you got Elijah, you got Elisha comes on the scene, takes his place. In my mind, as I read this, and I've read over these passages multiple times, but in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, and Gehazi messed up in the end, and we'll see that. You know the story. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if he would have just been faithful, done what he told, and he did for a while, but there was a point, and I'm going to show you where I think he got off base, and that's up for discussion. It's not a big deal. It's not going to matter either way. But I feel like, you know, what would have kept Gehazi from being the next Elisha? You know, he could have followed, if he would have been faithful, been obedient, and he was to a point, who's to say he could have not been the next great prophet? And the same thing goes for our lives. You know, some people are content where they are, and that's okay. And I think we all ought to we can all grow. We can all move up. Now, I understand there's physical abilities and all, and I get all that. But we can all get to the place in our life where I can be a little bit better at this, or I can do a little bit better. I can take on a little bit more. And there's some of you in here you take on a whole lot. There's some of you in here that don't take on a whole lot. You know what? That's okay. It takes us all to make this go around here. And the Lord needs everybody. He's given us all a job to do, and I'm looking at a group of people. I don't see anybody in here for the most part that would say, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. You've been in this church long enough. You've heard enough preaching. Yeah, I think you know what to do. Now, can you improve on that? Sure. Can I improve on that? Absolutely. So I think Gehazi, if he would have continued on and been faithful, I believe the Lord might have used him in a mighty way. So let's see what happens. All right, let's pick up in verse 12. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him.
And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What dost thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And I like this phrase here. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Elisha tells her, you know, about this time you're going to have a son. And she, yeah, right. Don't lie to me. It's kind of comical. Verse 17, And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. Now again, I want you, as we read this, I want you to keep in the back of your mind, Gehazi is here. He's kind of in the shadows. Verse 18, When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, My head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. 24. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Look at this. This is a little bit comical as well. Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. That means get up and let's move. Let's get there yesterday. And if you look that up from Shunem to Mount Carmel, that's roughly 15 to 20 miles. Would have took a full day ride on an animal. That would have been, which they may have cut that in half because she said, let's get moving. 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant. And if you look, these first few times, the Bible recognizes Gehazi as his servant. Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Now pay attention to Gehazi as we keep reading. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, so Gehazi is going to get some specific instructions right here. Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. 36. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. All right, we're going to skip over to chapter 5. So on down 38 through 41, Elisha heals the pottage here. There's some poison there. He takes care of that. Does another miracle down 42 through 44. So chapter 5, and we know the story of chapter 5 about Naaman the leper. Captain of the host of Syria, and he was a leper. For time's sake, let's go down through here. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maiden. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him out of his leprosy. So let's drop down verse 8. And it was so when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? He asked that question. So he turned and went away in a rage. And I know we read this story. Familiar passages here. If you had a disease, if you had leprosy, and the prophet comes to you and says, go wash 7 times in Jordan, would you not do that? And you got a guy that's too proudful, too full of pride, and he gives other rivers, and, well, I think these are a little bit cleaner. What does it matter? You have a man here that, and he said, you know, he tells Elisha, you know, I figured the Lord would just come and just take care of it. But he gives some instructions here. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan. 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, here it is, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So finally he done that. So 15. we'll go ahead and read 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. So Elisha comes, he does what Elisha says, he goes down and dips, he's clean of his leprosy. Now he wants to give Elisha something. He wants to give him a blessing. Now again, as we read this, I want you to remember, Gehazi's still in the shadows here. Gehazi's present when all this is going on. 16, but he said, as the Lord liveth, behold, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. He said, I don't want it. And it goes on down, verse 17, 18, talks about what he's going to give him. He wants to give him some silver and some gold and different things. He says, no, don't want any of that. 20. But Gehazi. Amen. So you've got a man, you've got Elisha is the prophet at that time. He's doing all these miracles. He's doing what the Lord said. He just told Naaman what to do. Go down into Jordan, dip 7 times, cleanse yourself of leprosy. Naaman comes to him and says, hey, let me give you something. Let me pay you for that in modern day terms. He says, no, I don't want that. But 20, but Gehazi, the servant. That looks awful tempting to him. You know, I think he's standing there saying in my mind, man, why wouldn't you take that? This guy's giving you, going to give you all these things. Wheels start turning. Why can't I be like that? Why can't I do some miracles like that? Why? Now we're going to go backwards here in just a second, but I'm not going to do it just yet. Verse 20, we're going to read a little bit more. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now we get some greed building in his heart. Now, again, we're going to go backwards here in a minute. I don't think Gehazi's heart problem started here. And again, we'll go back and look at that. Verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "It's all well." And he said, "All is well on the outside. My master hath sent me," so there's lie number one. "My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" Look what he says. And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither." Now we got line number two. You know, and I don't know everybody in here has heard that. When you tell one lie, you got to tell another one to cover that one up. And then where does it stop? So Elisha asked him, "Where you been?" "Nowhere." 26. And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" I think Elisha knew what was going on there. "Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants?" It's almost like Elijah looks at Gehazi and says, "What have you done?" "Yeah, I've given you some directions to do this and that, but what's that to you? Why do you want that stuff?" So now Gehazi's heart's completely filled with greed. He gets all these things. Then he lies to Elisha twice, two times. 27, and we know the story. "The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. What a tragedy. You seemingly have a life that is, how could it get any better? You're following along the man of God. You're following after Elisha. Why would you do such a thing? How did we get in this shape? And we could look at our own lives like that. I know when we had the Sunday school class over here a few years back, you know, I always told those young people, and I'm going to tell you the same, because we're no different than them. It doesn't matter what age you're in. We're all one bad decision away from wrecking our lives. One. Just one. And you look at Gehazi here, and I always scratch my head. You know, Gehazi is Elisha's servant, and my, to see the things that Elisha done, how did that happen? And we all have pride issues. We all have, you know, we're full of ourselves, you know, eat up with pride, all that kind of thing. But Gehazi here gives up what he had. Now he's got leprosy. And he's only mentioned one other time, and we'll look at it here in a minute in chapter 8. That's the only other time he's mentioned. But when he's mentioned at that time, he talks about what Elisha did. He never did badmouth him. But the Bible doesn't say if Gehazi ever repented. It doesn't say that. Don't know if he ever did or not. Have no idea. So greed, and you know, that word greed, if you look it up, the word greed or greedy means having a, and this is kind of weird. Definition says having a keen appetite for food or drink. There's a lot of people that's greedy over food. Ravenous, very hungry. So the next time you're very hungry, tell somebody you're greedy. See where that goes. It also means this: it's having a keen desire of anything, eager to obtain, as greedy of gain. And most of the time when we hear about the word greed or greedy, immediately our minds goes to money. Greed doesn't always have to be with money. Greed can be food. But greed can also be in your heart, not for tangible things. And that word greed, you know, the Bible talks a lot about covetous. That word greed and covetous is similar, but they're different. That word covetous means, hey, I want what somebody has. You know, if If Miss Betsy gets a brand new vehicle, I want her vehicle. That's what I want. Covetousness. Greed is not specifically saying that. It's you want more. And all of us in here, and I hope that we could all have this testimony. I hope nobody in here is satisfied where you are with the Lord right now. I hope we never get to that place in your life. I'm satisfied. I have all I need. And we've already talked about it earlier. There's always room to grow. There's always room to move up. But we can be greedy of certain things about not being content with what the Lord's given us. Maybe, and I know everybody suffers hardship. Everybody has problems. Everybody has trials. Everybody has stuff in your life. But I hope you don't get to the point in your life that you just, you're consumed with, I gotta have more. Now, do we want more of the Lord? Absolutely. Do we want more of this Bible? Absolutely. But there's other things, and I didn't make a list because it's the sky's the limit on what we could talk about things that we can be greedy with. I guess for just a simple example, we can be greedy with our time. That's a big one. There's other things, but that word greed is just wanting more and wanting more and wanting more. And that's what Gehazi had here. He's seen Elisha do all these things, and he gets to the point that Elisha does this miracle here, this great miracle, and the man offers him a payment, if you will. And in his mind, he says, "Man, I wonder why he didn't take that. He's not going to take it. I think I'll go get it." And he had no right to do that. Totally no right to do that. He lies to Elisha twice. Then he ends up with leprosy. Now, I said we're going to go back. Let's go back to chapter 4. Now, I can't prove this, but just in my own mind, and again, it'd be good to discuss, and it's, again, it's not that big a deal, but this is just my personal opinion here. I think Gehazi started down in chapter 4. And let's go back to chapter 4, verse 27. The Bible said, "And when she came, the Shunammite woman, to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away." So I think already in Gehazi's heart here, he's having some issues. But I think the biggest issue is drop down to verse 29. "Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.' 30, and the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her. 31, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice or hearing." I think there was a heart issue right here. I personally think that Gehazi right here, you know, Elisha told him exactly what to do. He told him who to avoid, what not to do, and take the staff laid on the face of the child. And I'm thinking in Elisha's mind, okay, this is my servant. I've told him what to do. He's going to go do this. The child's going to get up. But I think right here, and again, it's just personal opinion, that Gehazi thought he had it going on. And he took the staff, and he went. But I think he had a bad attitude when he laid that staff on that child, and the child didn't get up. So, and we're not going to read it again, but you can read on down there. Elisha has to come, and the child gets up. I personally think Gehazi's problem started right here. You know, most of the time, when we have a heart problem, it didn't start 5 minutes ago. It may have not even started last week. Most of the time, our heart problems, our pride problems, the things that affect our lives, they may be years in the making. Now, there were several years past when all these things took place. But time after time after time, if those things are not dealt with, if our heart is not, if we don't come before God in repentance and faith and ask for forgiveness of whatever is going on in our life and get those things taken care of and get a clean slate with the Lord, they fester. And all of you knows, you get a splinter in your hand, it festers up. It hurts. The longer you go, the longer you deal with that, the longer you stew on it, it's going to cause you problems. And I feel like here, that's what happened to Gehazi here. He done what he was supposed to do, supposedly, but you can still do what you're supposed to do, and if you do it in a bad attitude, it still ain't right. You know, we teach those kids downstairs about, you know, we all know the obedience song. Obedience is the right only way. So greed, Gehazi was guilty of greed. He wanted more. He wanted more than he had. And would to God we wouldn't be that way in our lives as far as with things that doesn't matter. So let's go over to the next time that Gehazi is mentioned is in chapter 8. Let's turn over there. We're going to read this. It's the last time he's mentioned in Scripture, 2 Kings 8 and verse 3. Bible says, and it came to pass that the 7 years in that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. Verse 5, and it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. You know, in verse 4, the king asked him, says, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha done. It had been real easy for him to get real smart right there, because now he has leprosy. But I think he regrets his decision on his greed. And he tells this guy all the things that Elisha's done. Now it's too late. Now he's got leprosy. You know, there was other people, you know, before we go there, don't get, again, as I give you the title, Gehazi, guilty of greed, don't let your name be there. But there's other people, and we don't have time to look at them. There's some other men in the Bible that was guilty of that. Judas was one. Ahab was one. Ananias and Sapphira, that's two. Rich young ruler, Balaam, the rich fool, Joseph's brothers, sons of Eli, and we could go on and on. Men in the Word of God that was guilty of greed. They had to have more. Never satisfied. And it's just like the world we live in today. Mostly we speak of monetary or tangible things. People, you know, what's enough? You know, people get a new car, they get a new house. They want another new car, a new house. And again, those are simple examples. But have you asked yourself how much can we get of God? Are we greedy? It kind of sounds weird. There's a sinfulness in greedy, but also there's some right ways to be greedy. I mean, I want more of my Savior. I want more of this book. I don't think that's a bad thing. But too many times we focus on the things that are harmful instead of helpful in our lives. Gehazi was looking for his own personal gain. And that even happens in the church. There's people, and I'm not saying that's here. There's people in the church that are greedy of selfish gain. They want to one up the next guy. Hey, I want his position. I want his class, or I want his pastorate. Or there's people like that in this world that connive and through greed and whatever do whatever it takes to get that. And I think that's wrong. But greed, don't be guilty of greed. Let's look at a couple places here. Let's go to Proverbs 1, and we'll be done. Proverbs 1, verse 19, the Bible says this, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Let's grab here in Proverbs, go to 15. That word greed or greedy, let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, is only mentioned in Scripture about 10 times in some form. Chapter 15. Going to look at a couple of these. Proverbs 15, verse 27. The Bible says, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." It causes problems. "But he that hateth gifts shall live." And we don't have, we won't go for sake of time, but in 1 Timothy 3, that's qualifications for bishops and deacons. That talks about being greedy of gain and all those things. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Bible said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Verse 19, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." You know, just like Gehazi was in the shadows of Elisha, the great man of God, that's okay, and that's a good place to be. And I guess maybe a warning for us, you know, some people, you know, ultimately we want Christ to have the preeminence. That's the Bible says that. But as we, maybe you have some authority over you, whether it's, it could be job, whatever the case may be. For some people, that's okay. Some people like that sense of, okay, I've got somebody over, maybe it's a leader. Hey, I've got this person over me, and I'm okay with that. And some people will live their life. There's others that can't handle that. I want his position. Why can't I be there? Why can't I have his benefits? And again, that happens in the church. And again, I'm not saying that's happening here, but it does. People are not content with what they have. Be content with what you have. Be content with what ministry God's given you till the Lord moves you. If the Lord gives you another place or service or whatever that is, take advantage. But don't get in your mind, hey, I can do better than they can at that. And I know we all think that, and we still do. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have those thoughts. We're going to have that mentality to some point. But be faithful where you are. You know, this. I know we're right on the eve of the 90th anniversary, and just the time that I've been here, the Lord's done a great thing in this place. He's still doing a great thing. Wow, the Bible that has went through this place, and I mean, there's many of you have been here way longer than I have, but just the Word of God that has went through this place, that has fallen on the ears and come into the hearts of the people that's in this church is an amazing thing. It's done an amazing work, and we don't need to let that stop. Don't sell yourself short. Don't get to the place that, hey, everything's been preached, I can't hear anything else that's going to change me. Don't get to that place. Don't ever get to the place that I don't care what pastor preaches next Sunday morning or next Wednesday night or next Sunday night. I've already heard that. I'm good on that. No, that's a dangerous place to be. Always when you come to this place, I'm going to give a, you know, we was out of town last week and everybody knows where we are or was. And, you know, we had to show up at chapel services and Wednesday night, and that's, I didn't like that. You know, and I get it all, you know, we have to be there. But I even told it in the meeting, Master Club meeting downstairs this evening, and I know most of you have been out, you visited around, you know what's out there. But if you haven't been out there and you see what's out there, you'll thank the Lord what you got right here. It's a totally different world. And every time you go, every time you have to be somewhere that is like that, it gets worse. And you think, Lord, how long are you gonna wait? You know, please come back. And He is coming. We don't know when that's going to be, but He is coming. But do appreciate what you have here. Don't take that for granted. So don't be like Gehazi and be guilty of greed.